This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
All right. Let's do this.
Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, hour three rolling along this morning. Thanks for joining us. We'll continue. We've got some NBA coming up at the bottom of the hour. Again, the NBA draft coming up on Thursday night. Zach Harper from The Athletic is going to join us at 30 past. So we'll talk to him about the Bradley Beal situation, where Damian Lillard might end up, what the draft after Victor Wembanyama's pick. Can you imagine if the Spurs didn't pick Victor Wembanyama? Can you imagine if they accidentally sent up Brandon Miller accident?
Would that be comparable? I remember when Reggie Bush was coming in.
Right.
But, I mean, but the Texans kind of hinted that they were going to take Mario Williams a few days ahead. It wasn't a shock.
Yeah, right.
But that and would
their be a shock. Their reasoning was they wanted to get better defensively in a division that at that time was being ruled by Peyton Manning. So they wanted to get to the quarterback. So, No, this would be
a good pick for him.
This would be clearly a mistake. Like somebody sabotaged the team.
Like somebody wrote it down on a card. That's for fun. Like, oh, here's the card, and that's the one the intern takes in.
Yeah, like, exactly. All right. Exactly. Like when I was in high school, I was a dishwasher at a restaurant, and one of the cooks, he was a practical joke guy. But he wanted to play a practical joke on the manager, where he filled an ammonia bottle or something, whatever. Forget what it was, but he filled it with water and he acted like he was going to drink out of it, like he was drinking pneumonia.
Okay.
And somehow, I don't know how, but somehow he ended up tasting a little ammonia.
Of course. It's probably still in the bottle.
Right. They ended up with, he had to call poison control. He ended up being fine. But I kept thinking to myself, how did that go wrong? Like I was just washing dishes, so I wasn't behind the line or anything. But I remember going, how did that go wrong? Like he emptied a bottle, he was filling it with water. How did it mess up?
I didn't clean it all the way out.
You didn't clean it all the way out, right? So, yeah, if Victor Wembanyama is not the number one pick, somebody went, hey, I think this will be funny. Like, it's a practical joke. Write down so-and-so. And then somehow, some way, that card accidentally got to what they sent up.
And who's the second pick again?
Charlotte.
Sorry. Yeah. How fast would Charlotte be turning in that card?
Maybe running up there, man. Get Victor Wembanyama.
Yeah, don't give us 10 minutes. Right. We got it in 10 seconds.
Spurs, man. Every time I see a highlight of Victor Wembanyama, I think if I lived in San Antonio, I would be finding my way to season tickets.
Yeah.
I'd want to see this every night. This guy's 7'4". He just reaches up, grabs passes, dunks it into the basket. It doesn't even have to jump that high.
But shoots threes with ease.
Shoots threes. He can shoot a three and get his own rebound.
Right.
Like he can shoot a three and then run in, get his own miss, and dunk it back in the basket.
I'm just wondering, is he too skinny?
That's going to be the test, right? Your good question. That is a question people have been asking.
At the same time, I used to say the same thing about Durant, and he's been durable. I mean, the last couple of years, I think age is starting to catch up with him. You know, you twist an ankle, you don't come back as quickly as you used to. I mean, obviously, when he tore his Achilles.
Yeah.
He didn't tear his Achilles.
No, I don't think he did.
What did he do during the...
I don't remember, but I got to...
Remember, it was things like every single night, it was like... What is he going to play? No, he's still dead. His leg's being chopped off.
Right, exactly. Right. If you're the Spurs, you're going to have to handle him and just make sure that there's, keep him healthy, keep him doing what he wants to do. You don't want to turn him into an injury riddled guy. But my action is right after that. What happens? Where does everything go? Like, where are people going? Where are people, where are the trades? Who's moving up or down? The NBA draft does this a lot more than the NFL draft in the first round. I mean, by the time we get to round 5 and 6, it's a mess, right, with the NFL draft.
But that's why the NFL draft was so much fun this year.
Yeah.
Because
there was action.
We had that in the first round. We're like,
but the NBA does it all the time. The NBA every year, it's this pick is going to so-and-so, and this pick is going to so-and-so, and this player is going to... They wear that one hat of one team, but they get told that they're no, actually you're going to Boston. Oh, I'm going to Boston. Well, what do you know? Because Boston's putting together this trade. It's fun. Two rounds, easy peasy. Adam Silver does the first one. The deputy commissioner does the second one, and we're done. Wrap it up. And then it's off to Summer League. And everybody gets all excited about Summer League. I remember Chet Holmgren of Gonzaga. He was drafted by Oklahoma City. He got hurt almost like immediately this season. But when he went to Summer League, everyone was buzzing about him. Like that was worth the ticket to go to Summer League in Las Vegas was to see Chet Holmgren. Remember that? Now Victor Wembanyama, he's going to play in front of sold out people. Those things, those arenas are going to be huge.
And that's the thing. I mean, you know, we often forget, you know, we look at it the sports way, but we often forget that it's the it's a business.
Right.
And so, you know, Victor Wembanyama, the Spurs are already looking at it like, you know how much money we're going to get off Summer League? Like, we didn't get anything last year. You know how much we're going to get this year?
Yeah, it's going to be great. He's going to be selling his jersey, and they're going to be selling and marketing him, and everyone wants to see him. It's going to be fun. It's going to be fun. But I'm looking at – I have no idea. I've been going back and forth with people who are in the know on the Damian Lillard situation. I got no idea if he's on the move or not. It seems like Portland – the problem is I don't trust teams when they tell – when a team tells me, no, they want to keep him and build around him, I don't trust that because I've seen that happen way too many times where they say like, oh, no. But in the end, they're like, we're waiting for the right deal and we don't want to be desperate. So in order to not look desperate so that we get an undervalued deal – that we don't like, we end up saying these things. Now, it happens a lot in the NFL, but in the NBA, you have to give value to value, so you can't get screwed over on a deal. But it also means that whatever assets you might be looking for, you might be given other assets to make that deal more, you know, to make it valuable, but it's not to your benefit. So I just think Portland is kind of in a position to, because when you go rebuild, that's the one thing that you have to understand. When a team wants to do a complete rebuild, Even if it's purposeful, all hope is lost, right? It means we're done.
Right.
Like whatever we were trying to build before is over. Like the Wizards, they really thought at one point they had the John Wall, Bradley Beal combo, right? At one point they thought that was going to be enough to be a formidable team in the East. And then it didn't. And so now they're stripping that down. They already had gotten rid of John Wall. Now they've gotten rid of Bradley Beal. They're looking to get rid of Kristaps Porzingis. All hope of whatever you were building, you have to start fresh. It's like, what was it? In We Are Marshall. Remember Matthew McConaughey? He loved the Power Eye. Remember that? He was like a big fan of the Power Eye when he played Jack Lengel in that movie. And he goes, Power Eye, in the trash. Because he didn't have the team that could run that. So they had to run the Veer. And so it's very similar if you're a GM in the NBA going through a total rebuild. You go, all right, this plan where we sign these guys to max contracts and we get two free agent wings and a big in the trash. That did not work. We tried it, did not work. Now strip it down to nothing. Say bye-bye to these stars that people were coming in to see every night. We're down to nothing again. We're starting all over. And so your fan base has to be willing to put up with that you're willing to take that step to do it. A lot of teams don't want to, especially if you have a star. They're like, can we squeeze a couple more? But sometimes you got to go, nah, that's it. We can't. We got to strip it down. Is that what Portland is thinking? Is Portland thinking, you know, one time we had Nicholas Batum and CJ McCollum and Damian Lillard, and we were in the playoffs and we were a pretty good playoff team. But those days are over. Those days are gone. Those players are gone. We can't do the same. We can't do this with Lillard anymore.
That has to be in the back of your mind.
Right.
You know, but I mean, I'm looking at it. If I'm Portland, it's like, yeah, you got to move on from Dame Lillard. Because and if you're Dame, don't you want to move on?
I would want to move on.
How much loyalty do you have to the city?
If I was a 32-year-old star, I would profess my love to the city, but I would also sort of say to people, but you know what, guys? I only get one go around at this.
Yeah.
And I've never been in the finals. So forgive me for wanting to leave.
I've rarely been in the playoffs.
But I've given you everything. Yeah, that's another one. I have rarely been in the playoffs. So I've given you everything I've had. I've had nights where I've scored 60 points. I've averaged 32 a night. When you get me... You get me fully. I come in here, I score, I light up the scoreboard, I give you it all. But I need to go pursue a championship. I hope you people understand how much I love this city, and you will always be in my heart. I will go if I go into the Hall of Fame. I will go in as a Trailblazer. But I have got to go get a title.
Yeah,
well, I have got to be part of something, right?
Get a fighting chance because you know, I mean, how long has he been in the league for? He's 10+ years, right?
Yeah, 10+ years. Yeah, he's 32.
Yeah, so I mean. You just get to that point where it's like, there's nothing, you can't go any further.
Yeah, and the guy played at Weber State, so it's not like he was playing on like at Duke or something that has right. that where he was in the Final Four or something, right? He was a guy that, you know, and so if you're Portland, then you either are sitting him down going, oh, but hey, we got the third pick in the draft and we can go. I would still go, yeah, I know we tried this though, man. We've done this. I can't do it anymore. Please.
Yeah.
I don't, send me to the Heat. Like, somewhere where I got, there's a culture there that can win in the next 3 to 4 years, because that's pretty much all I got. At about 35, 36, I'm going to be looking at the end of the rainbow here. So I got to figure out a way to get out of here. So anyway, Thursday question. Night, the draft. Go ahead.
Yeah, question for you. It's NBA related.
Uh-huh.
Because I'm looking at, what was his first take?
Oh, yeah,
the question
right.
that pops across, I don't know, maybe educate me a little bit, but it's, you know, the question is, concerned Isaiah Thomas has too much influence with the Suns.
Yeah.
Is that really a problem?
I don't think so.
You know, I don't know. Like Chris Paul is complaining that, you know.
Chris Paul's been complaining
about
that.
That he was, you know, Isaiah Thomas played a role with the Wizards. Because, I mean, I know he has no official title with the Suns.
Right.
But is that, I'm trying to find where it's a problem.
I don't know if it's a problem. And to be honest with you, is Chris Paul hurt because he found out
if you're Chris Paul, you're hurt.
Kindest way. Of course you are.
You're bummed that you know, it's like, God, you know, I'm, you know, finally got the right. I got Kevin Durant. I got, you know, Booker is coming along nicely. And, you know, everything's working out fine. We were one step away from the playoffs. If I could have just been a little bit healthier.
Who knows?
Now I'm being shipped off again.
Who knows how far that series could have gone if he was healthy?
Right.
If he was healthy. I mean, who knows? I mean, look, I still think in the end Denver wins it. But they were leading game two when he went out. They were leading game two. I don't know if they hold on. I don't know. But they were leading the game when he left game two with that injury. They did, though. They did win games 3 and 4 like they were supposed to. But with him in game 5, maybe it's a different story. If they could get it, if they could get it, you know, back to Phoenix with a lead in that series, maybe. I don't know.
Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Tony D and Ron Culver.
All right. Again, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That is Ron with two N's. Again, bottom of the hour, Zach Harper will join us from The Athletic to talk some NBA. Hey, did you see that story of those golfers that are buying a piece of the Premier League team?
Yeah.
Justin Thomas and Jordan Spieth and those guys. Is that... I didn't really understand that story. So they're buying a share of it, like a stock?
They're buying a share of it.
Okay,
but I guess there's a way to buy shares of teams. Like my brother recently got gifted a birthday present where he has one share of his favorite club, Manchester United. He doesn't get to do anything, right? It's not
right.
You know, it's more of a ceremonious thing, and you could do that. Like it became a good bachelor party gift, or you know,
like buying a Green Bay Packers stock,
right? Yeah. Right, or Dodgers, or you know, any type of sport. They're buying like a good chunk of Leeds United, but they're not going to be the principal owners of Leeds United.
Okay.
But it's still in the works, and it's Ricky Fowler, Justin Thomas, and Jordan Spieth.
Yeah, so they're going to buy Leeds United, but they're just going to have a piece of it.
Yeah, I don't think they'll be the principal owners of it. Yeah, I think, you know, obviously they'll get to make some votes, but not.
How much is Leeds United worth?
That's a great question.
I mean, because. Look, we talk about these guys being really, really rich. They're really, really rich, but they're not billionaire rich. Like if Leeds United costs like $2 billion, those guys aren't coming up with $2 billion.
I guess they're being valued at about $800
million. Well, that's still a lot. But they might be able to come up with like a couple hundred million for that.
Yeah.
But maybe they're like, no, we're not buying it. We're just putting enough to get us into it, but we're not into it. You know, like we're not going to be doing the day-to-day stuff. So, but I mean, that's a good little chunk of change.
All right. There's another one that says $640 million because they just got relegated.
Oh, okay. Okay. But yeah,
that happens when you go from Premier League down to Championship.
Look, I got to think if you're like these guys and you the money just constantly is pouring in from everything that you do. I mean, you got to get to a point where you go, where would be a good place to invest this thing? You buy a share of this, your investment, and they go, sports teams, why not? They tend to go up in value, you know, it's a pretty good investment. And they go, all right, great, put me in a package where I can be part of a sports team. You know, that's where I'd like some of my money to go if I was in the Uber echelon of golf wealth. You know, I mean, Phil Mickelson was going to buy the Padres once. He was part of an ownership group for the Padres, and they didn't get it. But now he was part of that. He was throwing some of his money in there pile.
I don't mean to make you sick. Right. But, you know, it's like there's this whole article based on leads. It's like, who's Ricky Fowler, right? And one of the questions is, what is Fowler's net worth?
I got to think it's $150 million.
Okay, it's not. It's not. It says the 34-year-old reportedly holds a net worth of $40 million.
What? That's way lower than I thought.
I know.
That is way lower than I estimated.
You know, 34-year-old, $40 million.
That doesn't sound like a lot at all. You mean to tell me that in all the years, now Ricky Fowler is not a major champion, I get it, but Ricky Fowler was one of the most influential golfers. I mean, he was young, good looking, really good Ryder Cup player. He was getting inundated with sponsorships all over the place. You mean to tell me his net worth is less than what Patrick Mahomes makes a year?
Yeah, no, I'm looking it
up.
He's
been playing golf for 15 years.
This is another article that says 40 to 50 million.
Jeez. I would have put it at least 100. How does it at least 100, right? I mean, all the money, but maybe not. Mickelson makes $60 million a year. He's not Mickelson level, I get it, but Mickelson makes $60 million a year.
Well, I'm going to put him on his level.
Back in the day.
Jordan Spieth, well, it says here, Jordan Spieth is saying his net worth is over $110 million.
I got to believe that. When Spieth was winning... Spieth was 21. He won the Masters and he won the U.S. Open, and then he finished like second in the British and like third in the PGA, whatever it was. He had such a great year. But one of the things that he won was he won the PGA Tour Prize, whatever it's called, the Tour Championship. And he got like $10 million for that. And they asked him what he was going to do with the money, and he said, nothing. I'm going to put it away and watch it grow and grow and grow. That was close to 8 years ago. So I'm sure he's done well with his money.
Phil, just in case you were wondering, Phil, who I guess is claiming he's almost a billionaire, he's at 875.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. That's why he's buying up all that property in Rancho Santa Fe.
Yeah.
Going to build himself a big, massive palace, a golf mecca. That's the best thing. Yeah, the best thing. I heard a story that him and his wife wanted to go. Like in his retirement, he was going to go to different countries and live, like get a visa and live for like 6 months. Like we'll live in Italy for 6 months. We'll live in France for 6 months. We'll live in Asia for 6 months. Just places like that. I mean, why not? But at the same time, now he's building a Saudi like palace in Rancho Santa Fe, buying up everybody's house. I'll take your lot.
Yep, building me a golf course.
I'm gonna have a massive, massive compound here in Rancho Santa Fe. Why not? That's great. So, anyway, is that a good investment? Leeds United?
I think it's one of the original teams. I mean, they've been up and down all over the place.
I just don't want to hear about like, oh my God, we have to put in new grass. That cost me $100,000.
But see, here's the deal. This is what I'm trying to figure out right now. It's not really Ricky Fowler, Jordan Spieth, Justin Thomas. I mean, they're part of it, but it's with an investment group called 49ers Enterprise.
Oh, I got you. So they've invested into that,
which is part of the 49ers football team.
So do they don't get a piece of the 49ers football team?
No, I don't think they have a piece of that, but it's with them. I'm trying to figure out now. Now I'm even more curious about what is this?
This is a little different. I feel like this story is a little different than like McElhaney and Ryan Reynolds. Like, because they went and bought a team that needed an owner, and now they're going to be running it. It sounds like these guys went because I know the story is attractive because of what's going on with Wrexham and these two like celebrities. But it feels like the story is more like, you know what? These guys are part of an investment fund, and the investment fund's buying a piece of this.
Yeah, I mean, they've struck a deal. They're good, for 100% control of Leeds United. So,
you mean these three guys are going to own that, or they're part of the investment group? Okay.
I think the principal owner is Andrea Radrizzani.
All right. So
that's who's selling the team.
Okay, so in the end, this is more about the way it's being presented was these three guys sat in a room one day. Like, you know what would be cool?
Yeah,
let's buy a soccer team. Like, is there any for sale? I don't know. I'll talk to my guy. He knows a guy who knows a guy. Maybe there's a team that's for sale. And then they come back and go, we found out Leeds United's for sale and we can get it for whatever million. Oh, okay. Then let's all talk to our investor guys and put him some money and let's buy this team and let's run it. That's not the case.
Right. Yeah.
These guys have money in a company. The company is buying a piece of this or all of it, whatever. And they happen to be the beneficiaries of this major investment company that has some of their money. That's probably more realistic.
That's what I thought. I thought they're not buying the whole thing. They're buying a piece of it.
Right.
And so, no, it turns
out. It's like when you find out, like, so-and-so owns, you find out Peyton Manning owns a part of, like, Chili's or something. It's like, no, he didn't want to buy Chili's. His investment company bought a piece of the restaurant, whatever
he was the, at one time, I know he sold a bunch of them, but at one time, wasn't he the largest franchisee for Papa John's?
Exactly. And they come to you and they go, hey, look, we think this will be a cool thing. And they're like, all right, yeah, put my money into that. That's good. But it's not like sitting around deciding you're going to be a soccer owner. You're going to buy a team. I think the Wrexham thing kind of makes people think like, oh my God, these guys are now buying teams and they're owning teams and they're going to be like having documentaries about them. You know, Justin and Ricky are going to be arguing over what color the team should be now or whatever it is. They're not going to do that. So anyway, I just thought I'd throw that out.
Everyone's going to be wearing golf hats and knickers.
Yeah, right. Exactly. But seriously, man, learn to putt. You know, especially on this Wyndham Clark's.
But
life
with
is
Ricky,
be
you know, the only thing I saw, it was my favorite. It was one of my favorite tweets over the weekend. Was that, you know, because when he was in contention, he says, "You know what, man? I just really hope he comes out in all orange." Yeah. I said, "You know what? Would that be welcomed a welcome thing for by the USGA, or would they consider that to be a slap in the face or something?"
Hmm. Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Good question. Came out in all orange?
He came out all orange. That'd be awesome.
That'd be good. No, I think that would be awesome. I think Ricky's an amazing story. I mean, really, for a guy that hasn't won a major, he's as popular as anybody who has won a major.
Right.
Like again, the major championship lists are filled with guys you have no idea where they are today. Right? I mean,
of course.
You know, it's just filled with guys who never turned it into currency, never but turned it into super
Ricky,
fame.
I mean, for Ricky, though, it was the image. You know, the all-orange, the Gumby outfit. That's what everyone always – that's how I always remember it, the Gumby.
He was a dirt bike rider. Yeah, he was a kid from California that rode dirt bikes and played awesome, awesome golf.
Part of the golf boys.
Yeah, 21 years old. He's on the Ryder Cup team. Like, he burst onto the scene. And you get young people that wanted to be him, girls liked him, and it was a complete package. Just hasn't turned it into. But again, there are major championship winners who wouldn't get recognized at a Winn-Dixie.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sportsnet Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right. Thank you for joining us as we continue his Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio. Good Tuesday to you. One programming note, I'm on vacation next week, but I'm also off Friday. So my wife and I are going on this 25th anniversary cruise for our anniversary, but I have to drive down to Miami. So it's going to take me 2 days to boogie down there, pick up my son, and head on down. So I'm taking Friday off, and then I'll be back. After the week, then we'll be back just the beginning of July. And then it's not long after that, the reason I bring it up, it's not long after that that we're going to start our NFL previews. We do a division every single week for 8 weeks leading up to the start of the season. It's a really good time. We will break down a team a day for that week four, and then Friday we sort of revamp it. But as we've said many times, Friday also gives us a buffer in case we misconnect on a guest or whatnot. We have that Friday to sort of make that good so that we get a complete view of the division. All 8 weeks. Let's go to the Progressive guest line. Progressive Insurance, saving drivers hundreds on their car insurance. Visit them for a quote today at progressive.com. You can save nearly $700 on average. Zach Harper joins us from The Athletic to talk NBA with the draft coming up on Thursday. And, of course, the news of Bradley Beal going in the deal to Phoenix. How are you, Zach?
I'm excellent. How are you doing?
Good. Let's talk about this Bradley Beal potential deal when it finally gets finalized. Yeah, we get we get why Washington's do it from a standpoint of Phoenix. What are the pluses of this, but what are also some of the negatives of this?
Look, I think people have tried to get a little too cute with things and be like, well, I don't think you want a super team. I don't think you need it. And look, there are complications that come in the new collective bargaining agreement with it, and those are financial complications, not just from a money standpoint, but from a how you build your roster standpoint. that Phoenix has to solve, and they kind of have to solve it this offseason when they have their most flexibility. But you want as much talent on the floor as possible. We saw during that NBA Finals, Miami, a very good defensive team, struggled to guard two of those guys, right? When it was Nikola Jokic and it was Jamal Murray. If you have three of those guys, not only is it make it harder to guard when you're on the when they're on the floor together, it also means you always have one of those guys in your rotation on the floor, right? Like, you're always going to have at least one All-NBA, All-Star player on the floor if your rotation is right. And so I just think that, look, it's going to be a little bit of an odd fit, but I think it fits better than people are giving it credit for. The tricky part is, how do you fill out that roster? I would expect DeAndre Ayton to be moved for two or three guys to help that depth. They really need to get to about eight guys for a playoff rotation. And just, you know, maybe the trickiest part of it all is Kevin Durant's got to stay healthy. Bradley Beal's got to stay healthy. Neither have a great history of that the last few years.
Do you think that they're, not from a practical standpoint from an NBA side, but maybe the fans, do you think that what the Nuggets were able to do sort of made people think that the immediate super team creation is not the way to go, given that the Nuggets sort of built this team over time? But that patience is really what is needed there, and some teams don't want to do that.
Yeah, I mean, patience is always the way in sports, right? You see those teams often get rewarded. It may not be right away, but that patience is big. I mean, we see coaches get fired, you know, 2 years into it. We see Coach of the Year get fired. We see guys get traded right away. We see guys wanting to leave right away. I mean, yeah, patience is always going to be the way to go, and Denver's a great model for it. I mean, the Warriors were a great model for it, right? I mean, I know things got a little murky once Kevin Durant went there, but that was a team that drafted the majority of those guys and developed and were, you know, patient. And I think that, you know, Denver's a good model. It's just, there's not one way to build a championship team. There are a bunch of ways to do it, and this could be one of them as well.
All right, let's get to Golden State. What do you think will likely happen with Draymond Green? There's this talk about the Lakers, but could he stay in Golden State for less money but get the long-term security he's looking for?
Yeah, I think that's probably the most likely scenario. I mean, people have been joking on the internet for a long time that, you know, Draymond is LeBron's biggest fan and he wants to play with them, which is all probably true. I think for their situation, they're likely to give him the long-term security he's looking for. I don't think he's going to want to actually leave, but we've seen crazier things happen before. But I expect him to leave. I expect him to re-sign, and then for them to adjust this roster around him. I think the trickier part is Klay Thompson moving forward, because while he looks pretty good since that coming back from the injury, he doesn't look like Klay Thompson, right? It doesn't look quite that great. And so from there, you got to figure out what that means for him financially.
Yeah, what is your feeling on that? I mean, with so many things going on in the Western Conference, how open is that window for Golden State? I know they just won a title a year ago, so it's hard to say it's closed. It's not that, but how open is it?
I think it's still open. I mean, I think the tricky part with last season, look, they had plenty of issues on the court. I think it's that one player punched another and then the video got out.
Right,
like, I don't think they ever recovered from that, you know? Like, there are plenty of basketball things that could have been cleaned up. But I don't even think it's the punch. I think it's the fact that the video got out. I think it was that embarrassment. I just don't think they ever recovered from it. You can recover from that. You can trade Jordan Poole or they can get over it. But I think now they've kind of seen, oh, this is the embarrassment of what that looks like for a year. And you expect professionals to be professionals.
What do we make of Damian Lillard in Portland? What is Portland saying? What do we read the tea leaves and what Damian Lillard wants?
I mean, I think he wants to win in Portland. I think he wants to be viewed as loyal, and I think Portland can't do what he needs them to do. Like, this front office that took over once Neil O'Shea was out, and I'm not a Neil O'Shea guy, so I'm not defending him, but this front office has botched just about every move that they've made trying to put a roster around it. I mean, yes, last year was supposed to be the one where, all right, they retooled, they have a competitive roster around him. They sat him for like the last month and a half because they needed to tank because they had no chance of actually winning. I think they should trade him and start a proper rebuild. I don't think they will do that. I think they're going to dangle that third pick. You know, maybe that gets them a Siakam or a Karl-Anthony Towns or Zion or something. but they're not one move away from competing, you know, with the best in the West, as good as Lillard is. Like, they just have so many issues on that roster. They need an overhaul. I think they'll keep him, and I think they'll try to retool, and I don't think it's going to work.
On Thursday night with the first round, what are you personally looking at? Is there a story that you're like, gee, whether it's, you know, New Orleans moving up or something else happening, are you watching something in particular that you think might happen on Thursday night in terms of pick swapping or trading, involving picks, or however it's going to work out?
I think it's going to be absolute chaos. I really do.
Like, I think that's
fun for us, right? Like, it's going to be like, once we're done celebrating Victor Wembanyama as the number one pick, literally anything could happen. Charlotte could move number two. Portland could move number three. Houston could move number four. You know, Orlando might try to move up with 6 and 11. They might try to move down. The Jazz might try to move up. Like, I think Toronto's trying to make big moves. I think Atlanta's trying to make big moves. It wouldn't shock me if we saw, you know, 15 trades that are pretty significant that night. I think DeAndre Ayton might be moved by then. Like, I think there's going to be a lot of chaos, and in our heads are going to be spinning.
A lot of attention will be on Victor Wembanyama, of course. It's almost like a mini coronation, if you will. But after that, how deep is this draft? How many talented players can go as far down as that talent will let them?
I mean, I think it's 10 deep of, like, significant players. I think there's a lot of talent here. Like, Scoot Henderson's going to be a monster. He's going to be so good. I think Brandon Miller maybe is a little overvalued for what he is right away, but long-term he projects to be an excellent player. Cam Whitmore is an incredible scorer. The tricky thing is the Thompson brothers, right? The guys who played in the overtime elite. I've talked to a bunch of executives, and the overall feeling is, we don't know what to make of them. Not that they're not talented. It's that we don't know what to make of the league they just played in. Like, they have power plays. Like, it's not normal basketball. Like, that league has power plays. They're like, we don't know. Like, we think these guys are going to be good. They've got the body for it, the athleticism. Their skill set is pretty solid. But we don't know what to make of the competition they just played against for a year. And so, but I think they have a high ceiling. Jairus Walker has got a high ceiling. Like, there's just a lot of guys that you would love to add to your team right away.
Zach Harper, The Athletic, on the NBA draft on Thursday night, and of course all the moves that we've been seeing already this week, or at least conversations of moves that we've been seeing this week. Zach, good stuff, man. Appreciate it.
Anytime. Thank you.
You got it. Zach Harper, The Athletic. Good stuff at The Athletic. I highly recommend that their site. They've got some really great in-depth stuff. And plus, you can customize it. It's a really good site. But anyway, talking about, again, the Thompson brothers, as he's mentioned, from Overtime Elite, they're expected to be top 10 selections. I'm interested in Brandon Miller. I liked Brandon Miller, and I know it was controversy last season. I know that he was involved, or at least there was an association with him bringing a gun to the situation in Tuscaloosa that ended the life of a young woman. I understand that, you know, there were some people who said, well, he didn't really do what people thought he did, et cetera. There's a lot of controversy around him. But overall, he was a solid, solid player for Alabama. He was the guy that you were watching because he was going to be a top NBA pick this season. If you were watching SEC basketball this year, and especially watching anything Brandon Miller was doing, you weren't watching to see what he was going to do with Alabama. Alabama was a top team in the nation all year because of him being on it. But this is Victor Wembanyama's show. There's no question about it. This is the guy that, when he gets drafted by the Spurs, now it's clock is ticking to see what his impact is in the NBA. All right, we'll continue. It's Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio. Glad you could be with us.
Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Tony D and Ron Culver.
All right, heading down the home stretch on a Tuesday, thanks to Zach Harper at The Athletic. Can't wait for Thursday night, man. I love the NBA draft. I can look at all the nonsense that'll be going on. Ha ha! Should be fun. By the way, if your team doesn't have a pick, just sit around and wait. The Knicks, for example, don't have a pick in the first two rounds. So, some other teams are only picking in the second round. So just sit around, because you never know what could happen. So you're saying that you got something for this final segment, Mr. Culver?
I do. I have a question for you, because I saw this chart, and it comes from Big Game Boomer.
Okay.
And Big Game Boomer, can you guess what they report on?
Oh, okay, yeah.
You know, they're a 24-hour sports talk podcast. And so, you know, they have Prize Picks, blah, blah, blah. But they put up an interesting chart. and I was fascinated in this chart, and it was the big brother and little brother of college football.
Okay.
So they ran down each state's who the big brother is versus who the little brother is.
Gotcha. So there's two big schools.
For example, Alabama.
Right.
Big brother is University of Alabama. Little brother is Auburn.
Gotcha.
So now you can kind of see where we're going. Or Arizona, big brother's University of Arizona, little brother's Arizona State. The reason why I bring this to your attention, because a lot of these I'm looking over and I'm agreeing with. You know, I'm looking, I was like, yeah, okay, that one makes sense. That one makes sense. You know, Indiana, the big brother's Purdue, little brother's Indiana, University of Indiana. But I have
Notre Dame doesn't have a say in that.
Notre Dame doesn't have a say in it.
Okay.
So, but you know, I'm curious about South Carolina.
Okay.
Because they have down the big brother being the University of South Carolina, little brother being Clemson.
Oh, I don't know. I probably would reverse that now.
That's why I wanted to bring it to your attention.
That's an ever-flowing flowing thing.
Yeah, I mean, was that several years ago? Or?
I think if you go long haul, it's probably right. If you were to say in the history of each school, you would probably say, yeah. I mean, Clemson has won a lot. South Carolina has never won a national championship. Clemson, not only when Dabo was winning them, they had already won in the bag. Danny Ford brought them one in the early 80s. So I don't think you have, they already had one by the time they were winning others with Dabo Sweeney. But no, I'd probably reverse that. I would reverse that.
I mean, and there are some questionable ones. Like, I don't know about Kansas, what they have. They have Kansas State over Kansas.
Well, I would take Wichita State over Kansas if Wichita State even had a team. I don't even know. Like, I mean, Kansas is atrocious. Are we talking football? Or are we just talking overall sports?
I'm assuming.
Did they give a category for this?
They didn't give a category. It just says big brother and little brother.
Wait a minute.
No. My bad. Big brother, little brother, college football.
College football. Okay. I was going to say, if you were throwing in the combination, then I would put obviously I put Kansas over Kansas State. If we're talking college football, Kansas just got. Good. Leopold, the coach, remember when they were like undefeated and everybody was excited about them? And then they kind of came back to normal again. They had gotten hurt.
Yep.
But Bill Snyder has done some great things at Kansas State over the years. I remember when he would play in conference title games and things like that. So, all right. I can see that. What did they have one for California?
Of course.
As that state is?
Yeah, that California, they have SC over UCLA.
So they don't even care about Stanford or Cal or anybody else.
No one does.
Nobody does.
No, I mean, let's be real.
Cal is nothing. Jeff Tedford days are over.
You would know that Cal's in California because of Cal. Stanford, you'd probably forget that it's in California.
Is it Arizona State, Arizona?
It's Arizona over Arizona State.
Arizona over Arizona State. Okay.
Colorado Buffaloes over Colorado State.
That makes sense.
Let's see. Some of the other ones. Alaska doesn't have anything.
No.
Which I was kind of sad about. Michigan over Michigan State.
That's a no. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I'm seeing who else we can make mad here.
North Carolina?
What is that logo?
North Carolina or Duke NC State?
I think they have NC State over North Carolina, but I can't really
Duke
tell.
Duke football has not been bad over the last couple of years, but probably long term, North Carolina would be better.
Yeah, Ohio State over Cincinnati.
How about Florida?
Oklahoma over Oklahoma State.
That makes sense. Florida. Nobody's asking Oklahoma State to go to the SEC.
Yeah, they have Florida State over Florida.
That makes sense.
Georgia
Although
over Georgia
Florida
Tech.
State, I don't know. Florida's won more national titles, and I think Florida's being in the SEC is hurting them over when Florida State dominated the ACC for all those years. But yeah,
how about this one? Would you do Marshall over West Virginia?
Whew. No, I would have flipped that. West Virginia played for a national championship.
And I don't agree with this one either. JMU, is that James Madison University?
James Madison, yeah.
Over Virginia Tech?
Oh, God, no. Really?
I mean, I would have said.
Well, James, no. Hold on, I'm going to backtrack on that. I think James Madison.
Are they a good school?
They won. I think they just. I'm going to have to look some. I'm doing this off the fly. I think they just. Got into a Division I conference after playing in Division I AA and doing really, really well.
Okay.
If I'm not mistaken, I think they made – I'm going to look – you got me going now. I got to look that up. Because I think they made it to one of the conferences, stupid me, I put in James Madison and I got the president or the political figure. I got the, instead of James Madison, football. But I think, why can't
Did
Google just assume I'm talking
football?
Why can't they assume I'm talking football here?
I know. They should know by now.
I don't understand. Yeah, real quick. Yeah, they're in the Sun Belt, but I think they just got into the Sun Belt. I think they had moved up because they'd won some other championships. I think.
Okay.
I'm not mistaken.
One I know that's controversial for here in Texas.
But I will, let's go back to that real quick.
Yeah.
But no matter how good James Madison, whether I'm right or wrong about that, and I'm playing it off the top of my head.
Still going
Virginia Tech had Michael Vick. Right? Let's not forget that Michael Vick lit up college football and they played in the national title game.
And we just ignore Virginia.
They lost to Tennessee, but yeah, and we just blew off Virginia.
Virginia doesn't matter.
That doesn't matter.
But one, I know that's controversial, but I have to agree with it right now. Is Texas over Texas A&M?
I would say that, yeah, it's true.
You know, there's a lot of people, Aggies, who would not agree with that, who would fight me to the death. But, you know, having been an outsider for many years. The great state of Tennessee, it's Tennessee over Vanderbilt.
That's right. That should be the truth.
Then they have Syracuse over Buffalo. They chose New Mexico State over New Mexico. So, I mean, most of this is pretty
right
on. They do have, this one is kind of curious to me, they have Nebraska over Nebraska.
Nebraska over Nebraska because there's nobody else playing college football in Nebraska?
So.
That's very smart.
Yeah, I mean,
well played.
In Alaska, they just put NA. They didn't even bother doing this. But Nebraska, I mean, unless there's another school in Nebraska with the same N logo.
Right, yeah. No, that's the third largest city when they play, Lincoln Memorial Stadium.
So the big brother is Nebraska and the little brother is Nebraska.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
Unless that was a typo and they were supposed to put, like, Omaha U or something. I don't know if there's a university in...
I'm trying to think if there's... My brain is flipping through all the states to see if there would be one that would be somewhat controversial. Oregon State is, I would assume Oregon versus over Oregon State.
No, they have Oregon State over Oregon.
Wait a minute.
That would be controversial.
Wait, why?
I mean, most
they
of
the don't
same,
have a reason behind
at first,
this?
No, they don't. It's just a chart. I mean, at first I was looking at this. I was like, you know, okay, this is wrong. But, they're right on. But, yeah, that one doesn't make any sense to me
either.
Are
they not giving an ex – like, is this based on polling? Is it based on money spent? Is it based on revenue?
It doesn't
make any sense at all. Oregon is competing for the playoff every year and has forever since we've had a playoff, for crying out loud. But they've always been a team that has been one of the top echelons of college football. Rather than Oregon State.
Well, like here's part of their reasoning, right? They put this chart, and then a guy responded, Clemson fans are not going to be happy.
Right.
And they responded, they shouldn't have lost last year. South Carolina is the big brother now until they get knocked off. So maybe that's it.
So they're not doing like, well, guys, don't think short-term. Think 100 years of playing football, and over this time... Yes, this is just the way it's going to be, right?
Yeah.
But it's basically a pulse right now. It's basically
the pulse right now.
I got you. Okay. All right.
But
that makes a little bit more sense.
I mean, it's interesting to look at. You know, it is just kind of fun just looking at all the different schools. Because, I mean, they're right. I think I would say like almost at least 80% of the time they're right. Kentucky over Louisville, LSU over the Raging Cajuns.
Yeah.
Penn State over Pitt. I mean, all those are like, yeah, that all makes sense to me.
Years ago, Sports Illustrated was going around the SEC, and they were doing a little tour of all the cities in the SEC, and they were saying, and when you're in Auburn, here's a great place to eat. And they would find these great diners that, like, had great barbecue or a great something. You know, if you're in Tuscaloosa, eat at Dreamland or whatever. And they were going around showcasing all these wonderful restaurants. And then when they got to South Carolina, they chose Bojangles, a fast food fried chicken chain. And I remember going, you got to be kidding. That's the laziest thing I've ever seen in my life. Like, there weren't any good restaurants in Columbia, but you can certainly get fast food fried chicken there. Yeah, sometimes you feel a little dissed with some things. All right, we'll see you tomorrow. The Lombardi Line's coming up next on Sports Map Radio.